Irina Nadura and Andre Lewis. Mike DiFilippo, Miguel Noguera, and Paul Huckabee are engineers. Check out our website at democracynow.org. There are transcripts, video, audio podcasts of all of our shows. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby, Grant, David Prude, Ariel Boone. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Greetings and welcome to Natural Alternatives. This is Dr. Ellen Kamai. Along with my co-host, Dr. Eugene Zamperone, we bring you cutting-edge information on natural alternatives coming your way every Friday evening, 6 to 7 p.m., right here on 90.1 FM. Tune in, stay healthy, move towards optimum wellness. See you then.
Animal research gives experimenters a paycheck, but it doesn't give us cures for human illnesses. Using animals is costly, it's cruel, inefficient, and it's old-fashioned. Sophisticated non-animal research methods using whole human DNA, for example, is where our money should go. Help us insist on modern research. Rate People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. That's PETA, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510. Paul McCartney, Fiona Apple, Alec Baldwin, and Mary Tyler Moore. What do these people have in common? They are all vegetarians. For free recipes and information about the benefits of a vegetarian diet, contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510. Thanks.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM, and streaming live at WUSB.FM. Eat your vegetables, kids, definitely. I like spinach and a lot of other vegetables. It's 6:01. That means it's time for Off the Wall.
Thank you.
Welcome, everyone. This is Off the Wall. Good evening. Oh, wow. Okay, let me try that again. Good evening. I can't hear what I'm saying. Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Okay, you can all hear, but I can't hear.
Can anyone hear me? You don't even have me turned up. You don't even have me turned up.
Well,
here's the thing. You can't hear you, but other people can hear you.
Right.
It's just because that the board's held together with scotch tape that no one here can. Okay, that's perfect.
Right.
Don't touch it. Don't even breathe on it.
Wow. Let me try that again. Hello. You're listening to Off the Wall. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Emmanuel.
Emmanuel's right here. Yes, we're with you this evening.
Another edition of Off the Wall.
Yes.
And I've already learned something. At the beginning of this show, you played a PSA. I didn't know Mary Tyler Moore was a vegetarian. I did not know that.
I never thought of it that way, but...
I have even more respect for her now.
Yeah, well, there's no shortage of respect for someone like that.
Yeah, that's true.
But vegetables are good. Yeah, I've been trying to eat my vegetables. I'm sure everyone out there is as well. Oh, we have a rule. No jokes about coughing tonight.
Okay, why don't we just get right into it then? yeah, okay, so this is the week. You know, 9/11 has not been good for Hillary Clinton. Can I just say that? First, there was the original 9/11. I don't know how many 9/11s there were before the original 9/11.
Right.
Okay, but, you know, the original one, I can't believe I'm probably offensive to say it like that, but you know the one I'm talking about, the one in 2001. She was New York senator then, and, you know, being a New York politician when New York City is being destroyed probably isn't a great day.
You mean fulfilling the prophecy.
Okay, fine. You look at it that way if you wish. And then there was Benghazi. Benghazi, Kyle, say it.
Ben who?
Benghazi.
Ben what?
Benghazi. If you're a Republican, you just keep saying it over and over again until somebody says, what the hell are you talking about? And then you get to talk about it. That happened on 9/11, too. And she was Secretary of State for 9/11.
Isn't that a condition?
No, whoa, what would I just say?
She was the Secretary of 9/11?
She was Secretary of State for the United States on 9/11, whatever year that was. I'm sorry, I don't remember what year Benghazi was. Oh, I mean, Benghazi always is. Benghazi is a place. So.
No, we all understand. You're correlating the anniversary. She was in office in a diplomatic position, you might say, no less.
I just got
at the State Department during 9/11. So
I'm,
yes.
I'm looking up holidays in Benghazi just to see if anybody ever actually goes there.
So I've got a lot to say about Hillary and that the illness situation and.
Let me finish. So then yesterday, or 2 days ago, 9/11 of 20, what year is this, 16? That's when Hillary Clinton passed out, or almost passed out, at a 9/11 ceremony. And now all these questions are swirling about her health, but it all happened. Well, she was diagnosed with pneumonia before that, but it came to everybody's attention on 9/11. So there you go.
Yeah, it's the 14th anniversary of 9/11.
15th.
14th.
Wait, how do you figure that? 2001. This is 2016.
You think it was an anniversary the day it happened? No. That was an attack.
Okay, so it's the anniversary of the anniversary.
That's
the first
right.
Anniversary. The 14th? Okay, I see.
Yeah. We weren't celebrating on the day.
Okay, let's not use the word celebrating. Although, you know,
let's say we weren't vigilant. We weren't reflecting. We weren't... Observing, that's the word. Yeah, you don't celebrate on a day like that. You observe 9/11, and
uh-huh.
You try not to pass out. And you know, what I think about that, and this was what I meant by a lot to say about it, you know, people ought to give her a break, and I think she should give herself a break, too. I could see how a lot of this caught up with her, and I was moved. I mean, you see some of the coverage, and there was really a lot going on over the weekend, and on Sunday in particular, as far as reflecting, and I'm sure being at the memorial site was quite moving. Now, don't attack me and say I'm saying Hillary's being emotional at 9/11. Everyone was being emotional there. That's the point of going to 9/11. More memorial, whatever you call it, the site.
Yeah, 9/11 isn't really a destination.
All of that campaign, the whole year, and then you're going to go downtown on this day and get all misty with everybody else and quiver and stir about 9/11. Of course she was about, and the heat on top of that.
Was she quivering and stir? I didn't see her.
I don't know. I'm sure stirring words were shared.
I think
and
she
it
sat
was,
in a chair, pretty much.
Well, whatever. I mean, that was, you know, had to be there. Mm-hmm. Couldn't miss it. And with all of that emotion and all the months of touching people's hands and hanging out with, also her grandchildren. I think they.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
They are working for the other side.
I don't know. I think they've been drawn in. But if you're looking for a source of pneumonia, look no further than toddlers.
Yeah. Stay away from the grandchildren. FaceTime. Seriously. Like, arm's length. Keep the kids remotely on the other side of town.
Seriously, who are these kids? Have they been vetted? Do we know where their loyalties lie?
I don't think so.
Yeah. You know, the nice orange-haired man might have visited them and made them an offer.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, free candy and, give your mom the, no, a big hug this time. No.
Grandma.
No, grandma, yes. Grandma, yeah. Grandma,
well,
whatever you call
you know,
her.
Theories, conjecture,
well,
it's
the mom.
All open right now.
Chelsea could have been a vector. No, it could have been a mom. Well, oh, my God.
Yeah, it's, turn to Fox News for further discussion of all this. But, yeah, so.
No shortage of that.
If she, there's criticism of the, the campaign not releasing information of the fact that she had been diagnosed with pneumonia beforehand.
Yeah.
You can understand why they wouldn't, with all the talk about Hillary Clinton's health and how they'd be pounced upon is she capable of being president? Of course she's capable of being president. Any one of us running the schedule that that she's been running over the last couple of years and beyond that I don't think we'll be able to do it.
It's like a triathlon for like years on end. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They're just flying constantly. It cannot be good for you.
No, it would scare me if she didn't get sick. It really would, because that would mean she's not human, which is another theory that's out there. She's got pneumonia. It's a very common. There's millions of people that have pneumonia right now in the United States. It's serious. Yes, and she should take her doctor's advice. Everybody else needs to basically just lay off a little bit. It's insane. If she had stayed at home, can you imagine the flack she would have gotten for not going to the 9/11 ceremony?
Yeah.
You know, there's no win here. There's not. And we just keep letting Trump get away with all kinds of things. Now, even he realizes that if he says something at this point, it's going to be very bad for him. So he not only has not said anything about her health other than I hope she gets better. But the order has come down to the entire campaign to not say anything about this. And it's amazing to see everybody toe in line and obey that. I think they're realizing that words do have consequences, and that even Donald Trump wouldn't be able to get out of mocking her or questioning her at this point.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, like you don't wish like really that kind of, I mean, you may really hate your opponent and stuff, but I can't imagine it would come down to that. Like, you would wish something like illness on somebody. Like, it's not surprising that it calmed down a little bit. But honestly, I think she should just take 2 months off and see what happens in November.
She's made her case. She should say to the American people,
"Yeah,
you've heard what I have to say. You know who I am. You know who the other guy is. I'll see you November 9th. If you make the right decision, okay, you know, well, we can work stuff out. If not, see you later."
Yeah, the whole pleasing, the interacting, it's too much. We've all had enough of it. And I think that high road of just, taking some time for herself and sitting back a little bit and truly letting the platform and the surrogates and the other people that are out there really working on this stuff, let them shine, let them do it. I saw some of the words from the president today and some other comments and so on. So I really hope that she takes some time and doesn't feel so obligated to be in everyone's face constantly. She doesn't like it anyway.
This is where you test your team, because you need a team. The race for president is not, it should not be about one person. Unfortunately, the media presents it that way. But it shouldn't just be about Hillary Clinton. It shouldn't just be about Donald Trump. This is why we're so afraid of Donald Trump, because it doesn't just represent him. It represents the people that he will bring in with him.
Yes.
All those, what's the word she used? Intolerables?
Deplorables,
yeah. And, you know, she's got a lot of flack for saying that, that half of Trump's followers are a basket of deplorables. I think that's a nice thing to call them. I really do. And if you look at the things that they say, if you even look at the polls where half of them believe that Obama isn't even a citizen and that black people are lazy, and these are bona fide polls, it's not inaccurate to say they're a basket of deplorables. The basket is the part that baffles me, actually. Why are they in a basket? Poor basket. So she's being attacked for attacking American citizens. Well, you know, Donald Trump attacks all kinds of people constantly, says horrible things about them, wishes violence upon them, and God forbid you're not an American citizen, the things he says about you then. And somehow that's okay. That's not something that he needs to apologize for. And she was on this immediately. She immediately said she regretted saying that. And in fact, she even, I believe, opened the remarks by saying this is a gross generalization or something, that she was accused later of making a gross generalization when she, in fact, introed it by saying that. So, you know, these are words of intelligent people just basically saying things to get their point of view out there. I think we should just deal with it. You know?
Yeah, I think that's also just this whole campaign season rubbing off on her a little bit. And I'm sure they all kind of took stock as a team. And really realized that that's probably not fruitful. But I think I found a word. It shouldn't be basket. It should be the spittoon of deplorables. How's that?
We'd have so much more fun on the campaign because we come up with so many more good words to use. But okay, so it's about more than just the one person. It's about all those other people that will be brought into that administration. So in Hillary Clinton's case, it's about the Elizabeth Warrens. It's about the Bernie Sanders. It's about the people that I'm not mentioning her vice president because he bores me.
But, just fine.
Yeah, it just really bores me. But there are charismatic people that really can get crowds energized. Those people should be basically filling in for Hillary Clinton right now, speaking as her, as the person that believes in a certain policy. If we're all on the same team, that's how they should feel. And Elizabeth Warren should basically be on that California campaign pit stop that got canceled because Hillary Clinton is sick. She doesn't have to do it all. And I think if you do it all, you're at risk of putting your health in jeopardy.
Absolutely. You totally set yourself up to stretch yourself so incredibly thin.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you aren't taking stock and actually having time for yourself. And you absolutely have to do that. And, golly, I don't know. It's definitely a reminder of the caustic nature and the trying nature of this kind of thing.
But if you do that, then Donald Trump will jump on you and say, "What? Where was Hillary Clinton during that heavy rainstorm that happened at Passaic, New Jersey? She was sipping wine uptown New York." You know, basically, they're just ready to pounce on you for everything you do. Look at that. She crossed against the light. You know, she breaks. What other laws will she break? We have to stop taking these things so seriously and just mock the people that make these accusations in the first place, because they're full of crap.
Well, and also I think we need to find better things to do than listen to them.
Yeah,
it's not taking them seriously, but not listening at all. We have other issues. There are plenty of other things to do in the world and in our communities.
And, you know, another thing, what if the election campaign itself wasn't a year and a half long? What if it was just basically 4 months, like most civilized countries? That would take less of a toll on people's health in the first place. They wouldn't have to be running around. But more importantly, they wouldn't be wasting so much time not really doing anything other than convincing people to cast a ballot for them some month in the future. That's
right.
What that's all about. It's all about just that. Nothing else is being accomplished. Actual governing is not happening.
What would you do about Aleppo?
And what is Aleppo?
Aleppo.
How many lepos are we talking about here? Two lepos? Three lepos? Okay, you know, that he got on the map. What's his name?
Half Aleppo.
I forget his name. So there, we're even.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's, come on, it's the
he
most...
He doesn't know Aleppo. I don't know him.
It's the most vanilla, like, boring. Like, come on. You have, like, John Doe.
There is no such person as John Doe. Doe is not a name.
Steve Smith. I don't know.
What John is, Smith.
No.
Is the most common name in the world.
Is that John Smith?
Or at least in our country.
John Doe's not a name. Come on. It's just like that, but it's...
Just like that.
Okay, so
what kind of a hint is that?
This is the Libertarian Party.
Yeah, I know he's a Libertarian Party. I just forget his name. Gary.
Gary Johnson.
Oh, okay. I just knew the Gary part. I didn't know the Johnson part. Okay, so Gary Johnson.
He messed up big time.
Well, did he, though?
Well,
did he, Carl?
Did he?
If he screws up that badly and gets all the headlines and they focus on his reaction to it, which is, oh, yeah, I feel like an idiot. I'm completely, I blanked out. I misunderstood what was being said. You know, not defensive, not like, oh, well, obviously you have agenda and who's paying your salary? You know, that kind of thing.
True.
No,
true.
Graciously accepting that, okay, I had a moment there where I didn't know what was, but he's now in the headlines. Everyone's talking about him. I still can't remember his name, but, he might make it to the debate stage. I think it'd be great if Jill Stein,
yes.
If the local dog catcher made it I don't like him. But if more people were at the debates, I actually like Trump's idea of no moderator, but it's kind of late to just suddenly spring that on everybody.
Really? Wow.
Can you imagine?
I didn't know you had an idea.
Well, the thing is, if there were no moderator, Trump would just be all over the place. He'd be bullying. He would not shut up at all. There'd be no controlling him. I'd love to see it. I think it'd be entertaining, but we wouldn't actually get anything accomplished.
Maybe like a jester with like a cattle prod.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Something like in a clown's... No, like a jester or like a... Some kind of revelrous outfit.
What have you been watching TV over the last year? What do you think we have now?
And then some kind of shocking instrument to zap the candidates if they get out of line.
Sign me up for that. So now, Channel 7 here in New York City... Well, not here in New York City. We're on Long Island, but over 60 miles to the west in New York City. We get the signal, so it's our channel, too. They supposedly, and I say supposedly, I'll tell you why in a second, announced Hillary Clinton's death. Basically, over the weekend, Joe Torres on Sunday, according to this news article, he may have confused some viewers at the start of the New York ABC-owned station's 6 p.m. newscast. He said, "Good evening. We begin with Hillary Clinton's death." The station then proceeded to report about Clinton's health scare. Apparently he meant to say health and said death instead. But here's the thing that kind of bugs me about this. There's footage of this on YouTube, right? It's making the rounds. It's gone viral.
Mm-hmm.
Except the jackass who recorded it. I'm sorry. You're a jackass. You basically stopped the recording 1 second after he said that, and just kept playing it over and over again, and I've gone to maybe 50 different YouTube pages about this, and it's either some lame brain giving their opinion on it, which I don't care about, or somebody playing that same clip and doing something else 1 second afterwards. You never get to see anything 1 second past that. It's just that one person who made that one clip, and that's all we get. We don't get to see. How did he correct himself? Did the other anchor respond in any way? I want to see that. But all we get to see is that one sentence. How is it one person holding a cell phone is the only source of a major metropolitan newscast and there are no other recordings of it? How is that possible? So that makes me question the whole story. Is this something that somebody just dubbed in and is spreading around now? You know, back in the day, which wasn't that long ago, lots of people would be recording TV, and you'd have multiple sources. And now it's really hard to record TV. You can't just press a button. You have to go into your digital DVR or whatnot, or go online, which by then they've changed it, so you can't really record what was on the TV. This might be the only source of the story that we ever get. So that makes me question, did this even happen? How do we prove it?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I'm sure they make air logs and stuff. And, I mean, you and I had a good conversation about this. It's like that concept of having a specific button to record. And even though we have recordable media in forms like DVD or Blu-ray or whatnot, people don't really have access to just be able to record without a third-party system or, like, a hosting platform through your cable provider. Yeah. So it's insane how that isn't available. Like you could just use a cassette deck and record the radio.
The other day, you saw on Viceland a recording that was made at the Hope Conference.
That's right, yeah.
This guy, what was he doing? He was saying something to Chelsea Manning?
They did, I'm sure, a bunch of different things, and we obviously are looking for them. And so this particular one was him on the mezzanine at basically what is our vendor area, walking around. And, of course, we had several different groups there, including, I believe, the people who were representing him or maybe family or representing Chelsea and or their family, right? So it may have been that he bumped into them, but what he did is he picked up this cardstock that was basically something that said you could mail and correspond, and he wrote on the back of it and participated, but did it on camera in a way that you would see the process of what an attendee might be seeing at that area when they get a card and say, write a small note to Chelsea.
So you saw this and called me into the room, and it was on TV right then. We could see the Hope Conference, people walking around, and we wanted to record it. But you can't just hit the record button. You'd have to basically open up the digital DVR. That takes about 10 seconds to load. If it loads, sometimes it doesn't. And by the time you go through all the options and finally start recording, it's over. So you there's no easy way to do this anymore. So we've been basically searching that channel now for the last few days, waiting for that spot to come on again, and it hasn't.
Yeah, they played it once, and then it disappeared. Of course, a lot of their bumps and segments aren't online. I've looked into a lot of this. I won't take up time getting into it, at how their different segments and things work. But it's interesting from a media scholar perspective. And for us, it's archival. We want to see our own stuff, and we really like it when people actually mention our events or actually mention our radio programs or our publications, because even in this particular segment, there really wasn't anything ascribing where this person was and so on. And in fact, the only thing that I saw that made me realize it was at Hope is I was watching and this person is on camera, and I realized he's wearing a lanyard that was at our event. And then I realized, oh my God, that's our event, and he's doing some kind of short bump about it. Yeah. So if there's more of that stuff, we'd certainly like to see it. We'd also like to see stuff that mentions us, but we'd appreciate systems that let us actually do it ourselves, and or broadcasters and publishers that are more forthcoming that allow you to access this stuff. I mean, even if there's a paywall and so on, there's at least a way to get clips of things on C-SPAN and in other realms.
Right.
And we certainly try our best with our publication.
We could hook the VCR, I guess, back up to the TV, but you know, people don't use those anymore.
We do have one in there. I brought one in there for exactly that reason. I figured we could just buy a case of VHS tapes and have it passively recording through something like our tuner or whatnot. But it's a lot more to set up, and it's of course an older format. And now that things are in a little bit higher resolution, you want to have another solution. So I'd have to we'd have to invest in several $1,000 in some sort of Blu-ray recorder or something.
Why? Well, I mean, I'm fine with you know, not 4K resolution on everything. You know, I have just as much fun watching something from the 1950s as I do from something from yesterday. We can record something on a VCR and digitally transcribe it with existing software, and it'll be what it is.
You asked me this the other day. I didn't answer your question, I realized. You asked me, what is the threshold? When does it become imperceivable?
Yes,
when
Kyle,
you're
I've been waiting
TV?
Days for the answer to this question. So,
well, I had a mental note to tell you. It is around, I think, 80 megapixels is the resolution your eyes can see, and I think 8K comes very close to that.
Okay, so that's when all this nonsense will stop. And people will get the TV set they want, and they won't be told 6 months later that there's something better.
No, it's not even about that anymore. It's the immersion. You already see immersion into virtual reality worlds or content coming in various ways. And the resolutions to capture that imagery will support making environments that you can actually be immersed in, and it is so high resolution that it looks like reality. So they're putting those things in place, and I'm sure we'll see a lot more of that stuff, but it's going to take these other intermediates to get to that, and so TV and that sort of viewing will itself be a wholly different experience.
So, okay, let me see if I have this straight then. We're moving to a world where basically we'll be in the movie, in the TV show, everything around us, three-dimensional, and just staring at a screen is going to be really old-fashioned. That's what great-grandpa used to do.
It's starting to look like that, and you already see people, small examples, where people create a virtual reality on, say, the subway. They're looking at a very small screen that is itself a small movie theater in their palm, and that isolation, those blinders themselves, I think are foreshadowing for what it will be like when we create rooms where we can simply watch with sort of eyewear or some sort of augmented reality gear, and all of the camera resolutions that we're moving towards, whether it's still or video, in tapeless and in the modern workflow, will support those platforms because the resolutions will be so good.
And will anybody be talking to the people around them, Kyle? Will there be any interaction at all?
What's a person?
Yeah, this is it's fascinating. I love the technology, but boy, what it's doing to just walking through the streets of Port Jefferson, still people on their damn Pokemon Go kicks.
It hasn't quite faded yet.
I thought it would be over by now. You know, I'm literally one kill away. Is it killing or capture? I guess it's capturing. I'm one capture away from qualifying to go to the gym, the Pokemon Go gym. And I just haven't had time to even do that. So I could, and it's just like real life, too. I don't have time to go to a real gym. So why would that be any different in the virtual world? But there's people basically walking around in traffic and on sidewalks and into each other. And they're all, you know, what was that kid, 5 the other day, was telling his dad,
oh, the
power's down to 3% on the phone.
Like, oh, God.
Oh, we'll get it back to the car, son. we'll deal with this crisis right now.
There must be so much balderdash. Can I use the acronym?
You already have. It's out there.
Yeah, there is so much BS parents probably tell their
BD, but okay.
Yeah, well, both. But they probably make up so much crap when their kids are, you know, talking about batteries, talking about this. I mean, parents must be numb to it, so sick of Pokemon and caring about some crap that's on this
but
kid's screen.
Kyle, do you remember growing up? There's some priceless, somewhat fragile memory of the magic of childhood. I don't know, maybe it was seeing snow falling lightly onto a pine tree.
It's true.
As the sun set. Maybe it's just the sound of grandma playing the piano or something like that. What memories are these kids going to have of running down streets with their looking at their devices and throwing things at Pokemon to get more points and go to a gym? These are going to be their memories. And I just wonder if they'll be as cherished, as priceless in their older years as they look back upon them.
Well, I think they'll be less cognizant of the world around them and easier to stuff in tiny boxes and make nice little obedient workers.
Well, that's a positive thought. Okay, yeah. So something good comes out of this.
Right? They won't appreciate or realize where they came from, and then all of a sudden they'll wind up in a very, very tiny wherever in the back of some place doing nothing for very little.
Hey, I've succeeded. I have found a TripAdvisor page to Benghazi. Planning your Benghazi trip, we'll search 200-plus sites to find the best hotel prices, so you don't have to. Travelers are talking about these hotels. I don't feel it's really advertising to give out the name of the Al Raha Inn, best hotel in Benghazi.
That's 4.5 stars, or dots.
Yeah, they get dots there. I don't think they get stars. It's 85 degrees Fahrenheit is the high for September. 68 is the low.
Wait, why are we traveling here again?
Oh, you know, at the beginning of the show, I wondered if there were people who actually went to Benghazi. And apparently there are. Okay, I want to read some reviews of this hotel, at least. Not much on the actual places to stay. Things to do. What can you do in Benghazi? There's mountains, historic sites, seafood. Seafood, really? Okay, let's look at the Bala Fish Restaurant. the Chrome PDF viewer is loading, so this might take a while. Okay, here we go. I don't want coupons.
Hey, there's a travel alert. My God. Did you see the travel alert?
No, I skipped right over that. Okay, this place has pretty good ratings. I like this restaurant. It's clean, and the staff is very friendly. You have a variety of fresh seafood where you can look and choose the exact pieces you want. Come on, proofread already. And also, you can choose the way of cooking for each piece. The price is average, and the food was very tasty. Best fish restaurant in Libya. Everything good, fresh, calm place. Okay.
Calm.
Well, it's always good to have a calm fish place, I say.
Not a typical way of describing a venue.
Well, if you ever go
those
to
are perks
Libyan
in Libya.
Fish market, it gets kind of, you know, testy sometimes.
No, I could definitely imagine that those would be perks.
All right. Best fish restaurant in Libya. Everything good. Let's see, the food, the treatment, and the place are all amazing. The prices are a bit high, but it's fish. It's expensive, I guess, and especially in Libya. I never really thought of Libya as, a mecca for fish, but maybe it is. A great pit stop after a long, busy business day in Benghazi. All you need to do is pick your fresh fish, lobster. They have lobster? Shell, calamari. Tell the cook how your meal will be cooked and served, and go inside the restaurant, sit down, and relax. Within a few minutes, a huge variety of salads and starters will be set down. Okay, so that's the fish restaurant. I'm going to keep looking for other things to do on our trip to Benghazi. But fish is covered. Don't worry about that. Historic sites, sacred religious sites. I'm going to browse all things to do. Yeah, let's see. Jebel Akhdar. I don't know what that is. Actually, it doesn't sound bad. Look how scenic this is, Kyle. Take a look. That's not how we picture Benghazi. I'm seeing waterfront. I'm seeing grassy mountains, blue skies. The most beautiful place you should have to visit. That's a weird way to say it. Al Jebel Akhdar. The most beautiful place you should have to visit. I think he's saying a place you absolutely must see, or something along that. There are many places to visit there, to see the nice mountain and where to take rest in the open forest. And you can see many caves where Omar al-Mukhtar were, and how could he fight the Italian colonialism? Okay, well, there's all sorts of history over there. You just have to look for it. And I'm going to look into flights. See, we can get a deal this time of year.
Yeah, indeed. The first nonstops to Cuba started recently.
That's right. JetBlue, I believe.
That's right. From Newark or from JFK. I don't know where, but somewhere in the tri-state area.
It's weird because when I went to Cuba, I took American Airlines. So when they say that there have been no commercial flights to Cuba in 50 plus years.
Yep.
I'm not sure how accurate that is, because it was American Airlines. Someone had to pay American Airlines to fly the planes over there. I'm sure there's some way that it wasn't actually known as a commercial flight from the United States, but it was what it was. And it was interesting. And everybody on the plane got S's on their boarding passes, and they all had to be searched.
Wow. Security, 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 security.
Pretty much.
That's what that stands for, right?
Is that what it stands for?
I think it was security, S, security.
I thought it was suspicious, because you got marked as a suspicious person.
God, there's so many. Yeah, I just had like deja vu. There's so many things to talk about, so many things I'd love to talk about. So little time. What is up with that?
Well, we spend so much time complaining about so little time that we run out of time. That's what happens.
All the time.
Absolutely. I had something else on the browser and I lost it, so I'm a little distracted right now.
Are we interested in taking phone calls tonight?
If we get phone calls, if you can go and delay smoothly. Yeah, but the problem is, the way we have it set up here, I've been listening to some of the old shows. They can't hear me from over here. I have to walk and stand behind you. But then the microphone doesn't pick up my voice. They hear me, but the listeners don't hear me.
How about if I bring this right here, right by myself?
Okay.
And we'll try to make this work, okay?
All right.
Does that sound...
Well, I just wanted to say that Champions League is coming up this weekend, and our team, Sevilla, is playing the Spanish team, and they're playing Juventus. We're in the group stage. Now, we won the Europa League. I shouldn't say we, because we're only following this team because they beat the team that we were following. The group stage is where the Europa League champion starts the competition. That starts this weekend and goes through December, and we'll keep people updated as to the results, but that's what's going on.
Hey, this is Ellie from DeLuca, and you're listening to WUSB, 90.1 FM, Radio Free Long Island.
So, here we are back again.
Yes, we are back.
And should we give out the phone number?
631-632-6901. If you're a student at Stony Brook and you're on campus, pick up any phone that looks like a campus phone.
Well, don't go into someone's office and pick up their phone. That's just rude.
Well, ask first, but pick up a phone and maybe both of you can call 26901. Tell us what building you're calling from. There's lots of new buildings on campus, and we're curious what your phones in that new building are like.
That's right. They just opened a new dormitory.
Show off. Yeah, show off what kind of telecommunication systems you can work with, because we're excited for new ones here. We have a phone call. Should we take this?
Yeah, why not?
Hello, you are on Off the Wall.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're really well. Where are you calling from?
Right now, I'm in Port Jefferson Station. So that means you guys are really getting out there.
Wow. Hey, that's fantastic. So how are you doing tonight? What's on your mind?
I'm doing all right. Hey, listen, I wanted to know how come I didn't hear much about the lockout at the – maybe I missed it – the lockout in the LIU campus, I believe it is, in Brooklyn.
I heard something about that. Can you hear me, first of all?
Yeah, can you hear E? He's across the room.
Why don't you let him answer the question?
I can, as a matter of fact.
Okay, good. I heard something about it. Maybe you could tell us about it.
Well, what I heard was that it's your typical union versus corporate trying to save money and that whole bit. Basically, all the faculty have been locked out of their positions because their contracts have expired as of, I think it was August 31st. And what's happened is they've been replaced by subpar educators. And basically, the students, who are more than halfway into their master's or, PhD or whatever it was, are being taught by subpar subpar educators, and I just was curious, how come you didn't mention about that? I mean, I heard about the election. That appears to be on people's minds these days.
Well, I mean, for one thing, it's a school that's not affiliated with us. It's in Brooklyn, and we only have an hour, and we're just talking about the things that if we were on for 3 hours, then I guess we'd get to that as well. But one thing that jumps out at me about what you just described, why do they have the contract end on August 31st, right before the school year begins? If there's going to be something contentious, it's going to happen right before the school year, and it's going to mess everything up. Why not have it the contract end at the end of the school year so you have the entire summer to work it out?
That would make sense.
There you go. That's my contribution.
All right, hey, we're going to get to another call, so thanks for your suggestion and comments.
Not a problem.
All right, cheers. Hello, you're on Off the Wall.
Hey, Kyle. How's it going? Hi, Daniel.
I'm pretty well.
Hello.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you guys well.
Where are you calling from?
Where are you from?
Grand Rapids, Michigan.
You have such a good phone connection. How is that possible?
Blind luck, I'm guessing.
Sounds like... Let me get voice over IP with a decent instrument.
Oh, this is just cell towers. That's all.
Wow.
So you have a nice handset, probably an iPhone. No, I don't want to ask.
Tell us. I want to know. What kind of phone are you using?
I won't say.
No, tell us.
Can you give us a hint?
Sure. It's a phone. a Mac phone, I guess.
Got
okay.
It.
All right. That's okay. I can live with that. What's on your mind?
Just wondering, I'm not a Trump supporter, but I don't want to vote for Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is a good option?
I think a lot of people are going through that right
well,
now.
Well, here's the thing. Did you hear what we were saying before about the election not being about one person? What I do, the way I get through my Hillary anxiety, is to think about the conventions And to look at all the people who spoke at the Democratic convention, you had people of all different races and nationalities. You had handicapped people speaking, people who really were feeling empowered. And then the Republican convention just seemed like a bunch of bullies, shouting white guys and military people. And it just, not the kind of room I would walk into if I saw them there. Those are the people that voting for Hillary will bring into power. So you'll see more of their effect. And I think if you have to make that choice and you really don't like Hillary, you think beyond her personality, who she is, and just what she will open the door for.
Yeah, no, I definitely see your point. I'm definitely in, I'd love to see mixed races, and Donald Trump is definitely not for that. And I do work with guys who are from Mexico. So it's like, why are you going to ship this guy off? He's a good worker. So, yeah.
Like a good person.
Yeah, I think just to sum that up, I think that the Hillary and that convention definitely was a more heterogeneous group, whereas the homogeneity of Trump supporters is scary. Where do you feel like you can bring new ideas to that group? It's, yeah, don't feel the same way about that. So.
Yeah.
Right. No, I'll definitely be shouted down. So, no, appreciate it. And I'll definitely be listening to all the videos from the Hope Conference. So.
Cool. All
Very
right.
cool. Thanks for calling, and keep listening.
All right, man. Good to talk to you guys.
Take care.
We'll take another call. All right.
What a great sounding call that was.
Hello. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey. How's it going? I just got to take my headphones off. Long time OTH listener coming back to the fold. This might actually be an OTH question. But
we can take it on OTW for now. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Massachusetts.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's a good place.
Home of Elizabeth Warren.
617 or 413?
508.
Okay. Oh, you got
wow.
me. Wow. Okay.
All right. Now that we got everything out on the table here, what's on your mind? What would you like to share with us tonight?
I took some time off from you guys. I had like a handful of kids who were destroying my house in the background here.
Wow. Yeah.
I hear them. They sound energetic.
And something struck me a couple of weeks ago, and I've been looking for the answer to this. Who the hell has, Auto Jack's old albums and music? I lost all the music I had from Auto Jack, and I can't find it on the web anywhere. They say the internet has no, it can't forget. It does.
Yeah, that's a misnomer, and we often try to shatter that. I mean, for every example you can say there is something somewhere. Well, it may be, but is it accessible? Is it well preserved? There's a lot of exceptions for these things. So.
Well, Auto Jack used to be on this show a couple of times, Off the Hook a couple of times.
Yeah, explain.
Did music, still does music. And you could probably just email him, autojack@2600.com, or he might even have autojack.net for all I know. If you basically just keep asking, somebody will get his attention. I'll try to get his attention.
That's why I figured I'd call in. There's an Auto Jack on Facebook and YouTube. I believe he's out of Portland, and he does rap and music, and he's a brony, which is slightly scary. But
I don't know what that is. What is that?
That's a bros that like My Little Pony. But
wait, what's that?
Totally different.
Oh my god!
Oh no, that's a whole show. That's probably a two-part show.
He's in San Diego, not Portland. So.
Well, if I can ask, caller, what type of music is Auto Jack's music? I mean, what does it sound like? I didn't know that this guy did any kind of production or composition.
I'm using air quotes here. It was hacker music.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So electronic, maybe. Some sort of intelligent dance music or...
rapping about hacking and...
Oh, okay, so actual lyrics
background,
and...
Not the background music for the movie Hackers.
Okay, so less electronic and more like emceeing and stuff about
kind of
the culture and where they come from. Okay, cool, all right.
Yeah, I'm looking online. You're right, though, things do fall out of visibility rather quickly.
We should play one of the tunes, one of his
I have
his
some
songs.
Of his material in my library. I don't have everything, I don't think.
Yeah, we'll have to dig some stuff up. That's really interesting. Well, I hope we were helpful to you, caller. And is there anything else on your mind? Anything else you'd like to say?
No, I don't want to say anything politically.
Wow.
I'm a yelling military white guy, so.
All right. Hey, you know what? That says a lot right there, and I respect that. And
well, we can't make assumptions based on anything because a lot of cool people fit that description.
Actually, I'm libertarian, but
I don't mean it in a negative way. But I think everybody's feeling like they don't want to contribute where they're, you know, start up, where they stand and go through that. Everybody's already thought about where they are politically this year. I think it's something the least of the topics anybody wants to talk about, especially with themselves, like about themselves. But
yeah,
really appreciate you sharing tonight and keep listening.
I will try as best I can.
Fantastic. And have fun with those kids out there. Okay.
Yep. Thanks. Later.
All right. Good night.
Now I'm trying to figure out how to get that. I'll find it. It's out there somewhere. But you know, it goes to show how quickly things do disappear digitally. Sometimes it's great to digitize things, but you need more than just that because formats change and hard drives fail, and you basically you can lose everything much quicker than before.
We were talking about this. I mean, archiving just formats, not even. Like, this comes up on the other show. We talk about it. I don't want to get too much into to computer stuff, but encryption is one thing, right? And that makes it hard to read data, right? But we've been talking about compression and certain things like that. And in an archival sense, if you compress something, it's a form of encryption.
Mm-hmm.
Because if for whatever reason that container or that format is unreadable or you can't run or decompress it or otherwise manipulate it on a future platform, you end up in this situation with a bunch of jarbled data. It's there, but it's compressed. And we've had other examples with like the voicemail system where the people built it don't even have software that runs on anything modern.
If you remember years ago, we ran a voice BBS, a 2600, and people would call in from all over the world, and it was like a BBS except with voice. It was cool. We put it together ourselves, but we used this system called Big Mouth. That was the name of the voicemail system made by a company called Talking Technologies. And it ran on, I think, Windows 3.1. And now those files, we recently resurrected the machine. We were able to get the machine to work and find all the voicemail files. There is nothing that can play those files. And even the people at Talking Technologies who still exist, they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to play their own format. That's how quickly things can disappear.
Well, where I left it with them is they sent me something, but I believe I ran it on my own machine. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I was supposed to install it on the Windows 3.1 machine to convert the files. I don't even know if what they sent me is really usable. I can go back and try that. But I got to a very weird point with them where they sent me something. I tried it on a modern Windows machine. It didn't work. It may be that I was supposed to run that in their system. But it's so delicate. It's to the point where I would rather someone who kind of knows the system or kind of knows what they're doing with legacy audio formats, I would actually rather they give it the attention it deserves. And we would love to resurrect and listen to some of those voice messages and the old voice tree and get some of those prompts to make a new IVR. So if anybody out there has experience with that system or retro audio formats used in voicemail systems, please contact us because that is a weird, weird project that we would love to reverse engineer and figure out using modern stuff. So we can kind of have this great little time capsule. But it's just one of those many, many examples that we run into
mm-hmm.
where people, they think that their thing is going to last forever, and it doesn't. It doesn't, you know? Unless a lot of people have decided this is going to be where we're going to write things, and this is how we're going to process this. Even then, it can become something that is unsupported. So
yeah, if you don't believe that, just try looking for something fairly obscure that was digital back in say the 1980s or 90s, even or even 10 years ago, and you'll see how hard it is to actually track it down because people upgrade, they move on, they purge. And also, you know, versions of things change and they make other utilities less useful. So something that worked great no longer works at all because of upgrades. Now, you know, you look at old analog ways of doing things like reading books. That's going to exist forever as long as you don't destroy the book, as long as we have eyes. You know, that's a system that's always going to work. Not exclusively. You should combine the technologies, but never, never give up something that has lasted for centuries.
Yeah, and don't trade the actual data being well written and well archived for something like space, like compression, mm-hmm. because in the long run you could come back and realize that's actually hurting you when you're trying to look at actual data. It's this extra step you throw at yourself, and those are things that are a little counterintuitive. It may start out as a feature, but it ends up crippling you if you're not careful. So write clearly and write in ways that last.
Hey, we need to leave delay, and we need to leave the air, too.
Well, we're not going to leave for that long, but we will be back next time.
You can write to us, otw@2600.com, with your questions, comments, feedback, and advice.
Good night.
Life in the city, what's happening?
Makes me smile.